Welcome back to another episode of Sportscastle. I'm Chris.
I'm Jared.
I'm Michael.
This week in Newcastle and Hunter Sport, we are live on location at the NCC Summer Bash in the new Aaron Russell Studio on Wheels.
Let's go.
How are we, boys?
Good, mate. We're excited to be here. We just come off third installment at the ground at Big Bash, mate. So, yeah, heart's pumping.
Right, so I'll just have to correct you there, because otherwise Newcastle City Council might take legal action. It is the NCC Summer Bash.
Yes, we better get it right.
Yeah, no, there's bigger stars here in the Big Bash. We've got guys like Nathan Hudson and Jonty Major.
Yeah, that is right.
And Jonty Major, that's your shout-out that you requested. And on that note, we might start with the Newcastle cricket. We are a round down into the Summer Bash, boys, and the first couple of days were pretty close, but today's results are a little bit more lopsided. Jared, we might start with the match over at Waratah Oval, and we'll work our way backwards through time.
Yes, the Seagulls, for all you guys out there, Stockton, reached 109. There's some interesting things going on there, Chris, because they only had 8 players on their My Cricket.
And 2 of them were the same person, it looks like.
Yes. Yeah, so,
yeah. Dubious.
They got 108. Sam Jenkinson top scored in that game for plus 24. But the Whips knocked it off. Hainsworth 63 off 33, 2 for 112.
Yeah, the Whips too good there. I think that's their first win of the season, if I'm not mistaken. So every club in the Newcastle District cricket in one of the 3 competitions or forms now has a win. So no nudie runs.
They beat Merriweather first round. Simon Keane.
They did too. You've got me there. So. There was someone who hadn't won, I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll move along.
Might have just been
the 2-day ladder that I was looking at.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You're talking about the Billy Goats, are you, not winning a game?
Well, mate, your side, well, what do you expect? They're led by a rabble. all right, so also tonight was obviously the game here at Number One Sports Ground, covered by Bar TV, with the excellent sideline commentary by the 3 of us. The boys from Newcastle City, they look promising, the lineup, a few imports, but just couldn't get going and didn't quite make triple figures.
Just trying to hit the ball too hard, it looked like.
Yeah, that power play, like you said, Chris, really hurt them. They ended up 9 for 98. L. Whitehead finished top scorer on 28. And, yeah, 4 bowls for Hamwicks shared 2 wickets each. And, yeah, the run chase was pretty impressive. None down for 99. Led by keeper batsman Ben Balcombe with 60 not out after getting one in middle stump earlier in the innings.
Yeah, it was about the only thing he did catch in the fielding innings. He touched on that on Bar TV, but probably the bigger talking points was blokes changing pants on the field to start the game. I think that just threw the blokes from City. They didn't know what to do. And then Hamwicks looked a little bit confused when they started their innings. They sent 3 batsmen out to start with.
They did. Lots of confusion there, but made for good TV, mate.
The ring-in self-appointed captain, by the sound of things, from my conversation with Sam Webber. Mark Dry, as the stalwart, he came back and appointed himself captain and opened the batting and probably would have opened the bowling too if he thought he'd get away with it.
Yeah, that was the word on the street, but Sam was adamant they weren't going to let him have that.
Yeah, well, you can't do everything. I mean, you might be Mark Dry's, but you surely not. So that was tonight's results. Yesterday, the winners were the Merriweather Lions in a close one against Waratah. Skipper Jonty Durheim nearly did enough to get the Waratahs home against the Lions, but the experienced Merriweather lineup was too strong. And then the other one, mate, super overaction under the darkness. Yeah, darkness, my old friend. At speaking with an unmentioned university player who may or may not be related to someone on the show, darkness seemed to be a very close friend of his tonight on the result.
Yeah, shouldn't have played. Definitely 100% shouldn't have played.
Someone could have died, I think, was one line.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wasn't going to be him. He was in the stands for the Super Overs.
Yes, well, opening bowler with Stuart Meeker from the UK, mate, apparently nearly hit Jed in the throat. Finished 8 for 131.
Both sides 8 down for 131.
Yes, and went to the Super Over, and, Charlestown got 11 runs off their over, 1 for 11, and Uni fell 2 runs short.
Yeah, right. A very narrow loss there, and a lot of people had the Sea Dragons tipped as one of the front runners in that pool, so it's an early cat amongst the pigeons, or early magpie amongst the Sea Dragons.
Yes.
And obviously Tuesday night we kicked off here at Number One Sports Ground. The Toronto Kookaburras batted first, posted a very competitive 150, probably the biggest total we've seen of the round. And Wall's End, they just lost a couple of key early wickets and couldn't quite chase it down, fell 20 runs short. But still looking at other scores, they'd be pretty confident heading into some of these other games with a total of 130 against a pretty solid Toronto attack.
Yeah, that's right, mate. They, I thought they might have been a bit slow starters, the Cookers, but yeah, they got the job done, led by their skipper, Chatty.
Yeah, you could see the experience of some of those smarter bowls on a deck that wasn't doing much. Price for Wall's End and Chad for Toronto, and a little cameo at the end of the innings for Adrian Chad, where he cleared the fence a couple of times, was probably the difference there. The final match of the round saw the West Rosellas at home at Harker Oval take on the Black Roses of Cardiff. And the Rosellas, well, they chased down a score of 142 with a little bit of ease, it looked. Lost Joe Price early, but Aaron Wibble and Merv McLaughlin, the old stager, did the work, mate.
Good to see young Cooper Lennox in the runs as well, 28-0. And we're playing Cardiff. He always gets runs playing against Cardiff.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see. Merv, I don't think, would have been seen in first grade this year so far, and steps up for the T20 and steers them home. But Aaron Wibble in red-hot form, which we'll touch on in when we move on to the 2 days in a sec, Jared.
Yeah, that's right. And the import at the Black Roses, mate, Sharma, carried on his fine form. He made a solid 59 as well, mate.
Not quite enough to get him across the line, though. So very interesting. Most matches probably went to script, but a couple of interesting results there and close misses for sides that probably weren't tipped to go as well. And certainly means next week's matches will be an open book for results, and we might go through and might have a quick run through and just see what everyone's thoughts are. Just a tip, don't need to go too in depth, boys. So we'll start off Tuesday at Passmore Oval, the Tigers, so that's Wall's End up against the Sea Dragons. Scalzi, who you got there, mate?
I got the Sea Dragons.
Jared?
Yeah, sticking with the Sea Dragons.
I can't go against my boys. I'll go with the Tigers to get it done and upset the great man Price. The other game at number one sports ground, which we'll be involved in, will be the Lions and the Black Roses. Lions coming off a win, the Black Roses coming off a loss to West. Who do you like, Jared?
I'm going to go with the old stages, the Lions, mate, in this one.
I'll take the Black Roses and Skulls.
Yeah, I'm with Merriweather as well.
All right, next up, Jared, at number one sports ground on Wednesday the 23rd, we've got your Magpies up against tonight's victors, the Pumas. Can the Magpies be giant killers 2 weeks in a row? I'm going to say no. Look for Sam Webber to take his opportunity with the bat this time and beat the Magpies into submission.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my boys, mate. I think the Magpies are going to get another upset.
Skulls, another former Magpie, mate. Who do you like?
I'm going to go the Pumas. They were just a class above tonight.
Lovely. And the other game at Harker Oval that night will be tonight's losers, the Sabres, taking on a strong Kookaburras outfit. Can the young boys from Newcastle City bounce back, Skulls?
You'd think so. Hopefully they learn from their mistakes. For their case, like, just don't try and, you don't have to hit every ball to the boundary or over the boundary in 2020 cricket. Ones and twos get you home.
Yeah, lovely, Jared.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Adrian Chad-led Kookaburras, mate, in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chaddy and the boys as well there. Moving on to Thursday, and we might start with the game at Waratah Oval, the home side Waratah. They come up against the Whips from Belmont. Jared, is it going to be one of Scotty Logan's former clubs, the Whips, or will it be Bill Pappas' boys from Waratah?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the boys from Belmont. Hainsworth.
Skulls?
If Marcus Hainsworth is on the song again, then Belmont should get home.
Yeah, I like the look of the boys from Waratah last night. Some of those imports, if they can get those same guys back up again in Crawley and Robinson, I'm going to see them getting home on their home deck against a Whip side that probably hasn't been as strong this year. So that's the round two predictions for the NCC Summer Bash. We might move on to... Oh, sorry, the boys have just pointed out to me I'm asleep at the wheel here, literally and figuratively. The final match, which is the Rosellas and the Seagulls, which is the Wednesday, the Thursday night match at number one. Skulls, who do you like there? Can you see the Seagulls bouncing back from tonight's drubbing?
I'm going to stick with the boys from West, the Rosellas.
Another one of your former clubs?
Yeah, one of 15,000.
Yes, I'm going to stick with the Rosellas to romp home here, mate.
Yeah, I think the Rosellas will get home pretty easily. Skulls, it has been said about you, mate, more clubs than Tiger Woods.
I get around.
Yeah, not exactly. No, exactly right. I don't know which sense we're talking about now, and I don't want to know. Moving on, we'll have a look at the two-day cricket, and we might actually start with an update off the back of that of the Newcastle and District Cricket Sportscastle Player of the Year. It will be no surprise to anyone that the one, the only, Nathan Price is leading that, but the gap has narrowed, Jared. The Sri Lankan superstar, Sash Pusagola, has closed the gap to 9 points atop the standings, leapfrogging the self-appointed beta male, Nathan Hudson, who's on 24, back to Andrew Harriott on 18, and Daniel Chillingworth on 17. And then there's a bunch of other players within striking distance. And look, mate, I think there's plenty of blokes that are pushing up now, the likes of McGuigan and Sharma, into those rankings.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Pusagola, I think there was sort of a little bit of rap on him before he got here, mate, but there's all word out at out there at Charlestown that he could be a better import than young Sammy that was here last year, mate, and he's obviously leading the way with bat and ball out there.
Yeah, I don't know if you recall, but I think last week I might have tipped him as the man to chase down Price if anyone will, and he's done well. And, you know, looking at the last four round or the last four scoring weeks that we've had of cricket, he's picked up 23 points to zero for Nathan Price, so Price, he might need to switch back on.
Well,
he's doing a Jared Hayne, trying to win a medal in the first half of the season. you can't write Pricey off. It won't be long before he peels off another ton. He is a class act, that is for sure. But as we said, the two-day cricket, Jared, we might have a reflection back on last week's matches if you want to start us off.
Yeah, there's been lots of drama during the week, but there was also plenty last week. Mate, Hamwick's made 233 at home, and Cardiff reeling at stumps, mate. 4 for 21.
Yeah, it's not an ideal position to be in at stumps, that is for sure. But look, they've got a pretty deep batting lineup, but obviously they've lost their key men in the Bills brothers, Sharma and Bakshi. So a lot of expectation now on the skipper, Nick Watkins, who unusually has come in to bat at six, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what my cricket's looking like at the moment there, mate. But, yeah, I think it's all uphill there for Cardiff, and I think Hamlicks will carry on and get the points in this one, mate.
Yeah, the man Sam Webber there with 1 for 6 is certainly been very effective, but it looks like the wickets have been spread amongst the guys in that match, and yeah, similar to the run. So it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. But, yeah, I'd certainly be backing Hamlicks home. Can you see a Black Roses victory there, Scalzi, or you're on the Pumas?
On the PMS.
I thought you were saying on the piss. Jeez. Getting rowdy back here.
Just struggling with some airflow in the Aaron Russell studio here. So we do apologise if we've got any background noise going on. But moving on to the next match, mate. Belmont and Charlestown. Belmont dismissed very cheaply for 114. And Charlestown already with first innings points.
Yes, led by a 6-wicket haul, mate, from your man, Sass. And also backed it up with a bat, mate, with a 40. But, yeah, the big derby match probably not living up to expectations.
Yeah, 6 for 29 off 18. That's some pretty handy figures in anyone's chat. And then to turn around and, as you said, posted a handy little 40 at a half-decent clip. So, but the man for Charlestown with the stick at the moment on 71 not out is Luke Hitchcock, mate. Do you know much about him? I haven't seen too much of Luke.
I don't know a great deal. I know he's a local junior, mate, but he's obviously just come through the system and he's, making his way at the moment. He's obviously had a day out here against Belmont, mate.
Yeah, got a pretty handy career batting average of, looks like about 33. So I don't think the My Cricket stats are correct, though, because it says his strike rate's 226.7. So that could be incorrect and maybe an exaggeration, but yeah, it'd be good to see him go on and make triple figures and then maybe Charlestown declare and have another crack at Belmont, you know, just before lunch maybe.
Yeah, I think Charlestown might go 10 overs, have a crack and then send him back in.
Yeah, I would have thought so. We're all tipping Charlestown for an out right there, boys.
Ooh, yes.
Yes, big one.
Next up, we'll have a look at the Battle of the Cellar Dwellers, City and Stockton. Jared, City, they'd be pretty nervous, I would have thought.
Yeah, they certainly would be, mate.
The Foster Show.
Daniel Foster, the curator at the Knights training headquarters, ripped in with 7 for 31, mate. And yeah, his brother took the other three, so
yeah, not bad for a bloke that only plays part-time.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, it's probably that confidence building win for Stockton before the break, mate, has obviously done them wonders, and they've got first innings points, 8 for 204. So it's all uphill for City, but I can't see a way back for City in this one, mate.
Yeah, it'd be very hard. I mean, even if Stockton declare, the only, you know, real possibility for Newcastle City is quick fire runs and then somehow rolling Stockton in less than a session. So it'd be interesting to see, though, what the captaincy decision is and what they decide to do. I'm not even sure who's skippering whether it is Foster or Jenkinson out there at the moment. But, yeah, it'll be certainly interesting to see what the decision is with Stockton, whether they go into bat or whether they potentially, you know, push for an outright themselves with a declaration and see if they can do something similar, you know, maybe an overnight declaration, I'd think, and try and bowl them out in two sessions and maybe leave themselves, you know, either nothing to bat or 30 or 40 runs to chase.
First crack on a fresh deck with a new ball, it sounds like a good plan.
Certainly does on number one here, so it'll be interesting to see. The deck's actually looking a little bit green, so it might be an opportunity. Obviously, still a day and a half to go before they take the field, but yeah, an interesting one indeed, Jared. Next one, two sides that are in contention for the top four, the Toronto Kookaburras and Merriweather, Jared. They took it on at Ron Hill. Didn't get a full day's play and due to some conditions on the deck. Jeremy Ford got hit in the head a couple of times, unfortunately. Jeremy, a.k.a. Jono Ford, for those regular listeners of the show. So he's retired, not out at the moment after a couple of hits. Looked all right when he played here the other night, though.
Yeah, he did, mate. Fourth ball in, and then they sat Roundel 10-6. So, yeah, a bit of a long day out there at Ron Hill, but they managed to get 2 for 51. So I think they just split the overs this week, and, yeah, will be looking to knock them over.
I would say so. I'd say it'll be a 108-over match, so they'll probably have another 36 overs to bat, would be the theory, and then Merriweather will have their 54 in the afternoon. Who else have we got here, mate? We've got Wallsend and West. West posted a solid but not ungettable total.
No, they did, led by the resurgent Aaron Whibble, made 165 runs. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Tigers boys would have been cock-a-hoop, mate, when they had them 3 for 4 with Joe Price and Moore already back in the sheds. Aaron Whibble didn't read that script and... yeah, went on and posted 165 of the 281. Not many others, you know, made much of a start.
No, they didn't, mate. They didn't. But, yeah, I suppose lucky he was there to get them out of trouble. But I suppose their tails will be up after their couple overs with the ball, mate. Balls end reeling.
2 for 7.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a look at that, it's genuine bowlers that have gone into bat there, and even the night watchman, Trent Nash and... Pat McGann, but they were quite full of confidence, Wallsend, when they were here at number one on Tuesday night, and they're backing themselves in. As they said, you know, it's an opportunity for those two guys to, you know, have a bit of a bat on Saturday morning, and then they've got, you know, the likes of Brooks, Montgomery, Price, Page, Lynch have all got some runs at different points over the last couple of seasons to step up, and you know, you can never write off a side that has the one, the only Nathan McCarves Price.
Yeah. Carl's Price. I like to call him Mr. My Cricket.
Mr. My Cricket, yeah. Mate, Josh Callanan's best friend. He goes by a lot of names. Mr. Newcastle Herald, yeah. So, many names and many skills is old Nathan Price, that's for sure. The final match of the round, mate, I saw a declaration from University to send Waratah in for a little bit at the end of the day.
Yeah, they made a big score, mate. 347, led by their inspirational captain, Buddy Harry, at 130, mate, another 100 for the big man. And, yeah, Waratah got to 1 for 31 at stump. So, yeah, still a lot of work to do. But, yeah, they'll be looking to stick it out, mate, and try and bat the day out, I reckon.
That they will. It'll be interesting to see what Waratah can do. I mean, they're going to have to pretty much bat the day out to try and chase down that total. And, I mean, University, unless they can get some early wickets, are probably going to struggle to... they'd have to get a fair few early wickets, struggle to push for an outright. So, yeah, that one could peter out into a pretty unexciting affair, I think. But I'll be back in University home. Thoughts, boys?
Yeah, uni in the bag. Runs on the board. Massive runs. You just got to back yourself to be able to defend that.
Yeah, that is true. So, certainly having a look at some interesting fixtures that play through for the two-day format and... yeah, there's plenty to pan out there with a couple of results. You know, an outright for someone like Stockton could see them fly up the ladder, Jared.
Yeah, that's right. Anything's possible, I suppose they say. That we said last week they might be doing the reverse Toronto from last year. So, yeah, I think Charlestown will be pushing for outright. I think Uni, if they get a few wickets early, you know, they've got plenty of runs on the board, so they could have a crack too.
Yeah, trying to take 19 wickets in a day is... yeah, not always the simplest of tasks, but you know, anything's possible in this day and age. So we will wait and see, boys. That all but wraps up the Newcastle District cricket action. We just got our Matthews Mowing and Maintenance Player of the Week, and This normally goes to a lower grade of Jared, but the standout performer for mine, he carried his team. We just talked about it to help them close the competitive total after they were in disarray. And that goes to none other than former Walls End player, actually. And he performed in the T20 world yesterday for West, and that's Aaron Whipple.
Yeah, he had an outstanding week, 231 runs across all forms, mate. And, yeah, definitely got his paycheck this week, mate.
Well, they get paid at West today, mate. Scholes, you'd be able to tell us about that. You're a former, West boy.
Not associated with the football club, so the players do not get paid.
All right.
Heard of you first.
Yeah, there we go. So, yes, but congrats to Aaron Whipple. So, might not be payment, but he's earned himself an hour of lawn mowing or maintenance around the yard. Work from Matthew's Mowing and Maintenance, one of our great sponsors. Certainly an opportunity there for him to cash in on that so he can put his feet up and rest up for their next T20 clash next week.
Yeah, well, and in breaking news, mate, well, not breaking news, but we did cover it last week, the Golden Greeks went on a run at the famous World Waratah Sevens. And, the champions, led by the man himself, Vasilios Pappas.
I'm hearing that it was only thanks to Bill's shoulders, because he had big shoulders to carry Scott Logan through the tournament.
He's very much in need of a massage on the Monday morning, from all reports, mate. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was so tired he couldn't even participate in the start of pre-season training for soccer. Came down to the cricket to watch the back end instead.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That is correct.
It was great to see the great men down here supporting the Waratahs last night. So, yeah, excellent to see. And well done to the Golden Greeks. Nathan Hudson, Sam Logan, Bill Pappas, and a couple of other Waratah stalwarts, I believe, Jared.
Yeah, that's right. Toddy Hearn and Bill's younger brother, Jim. They led the way. But, yeah, they've been a prominent fixture out there at the Sevens. But, they're back. They beat the favourites in the final.
Yeah, lovely, mate. And with that, we might move on to the round ball action. And we'll have a look at the Youth League, mate. Newcastle season's on the rack.
Yes, it certainly is, mate. What am I going?
You got things back to front and upside down. You think you missed a squiggle.
Yeah, I'm looking there going, we beat Western Sydney, but that was last week. No, we got a loss to Sydney, mate.
Yeah, the high-flying Sydney. That pretty much, as I said, will wrap up our season. A 3-2 was a high-scoring affair. Great to see one name in particular on that score sheet, though.
Yes, Mr. Champness is back. So, yeah, hopefully he can get back in the first team soon.
Well, he's on the bench for the first team for this weekend, so looking forward to seeing, hopefully, him come on late against, again, Sydney FC down there at Cogra Jubilee this weekend, Sydney's new temporary home ground. As we say, that leaves the Jets now with only one game to play and they're 6 points adrift and well behind on goal difference of those teams atop the ladder, and Wanderers still have another game to play as well. Sydney with two games to play and they're 3 points in front. So needed to finish top of the pool. That's not going to happen, mate. A little disappointing, but probably a pretty solid season from the Jets. They would have liked a bit more in a couple of those games, but finished well, competitive against Sydney, and also chalking that big win last week against none other than the ladder leaders, Western Sydney.
Yeah, that's right, mate. But, they can go out with a bang this week against the Wooden Spooners, mate.
Yeah, I would suggest they would down there at Deakin Stadium on Saturday night at 6:30. They'll take on Canberra United. Canberra United still yet to register a win or a point from their six games and have only actually put three goals in the back of the net in six games so far, but have let in 16. So the Jets boys will be looking to go out with a bang on Saturday. It's a shame that one's actually, looks like it's going to clash with the men's game, the A-League game, which we'll get onto in a little bit.
Yeah, it will, mate. And that little fact you pointed out last week still running true. There has not been one draw in this side of the ladder.
Yeah, that's all right. No one likes a draw. So, so we'll move on to the W League, mate, from there and have a look at how the girls are tracking. Again, not the ideal season for them.
No, it hasn't been, mate, but they upset the high-flying Samantha Kerr-led Perth 3-1 at home. Was it home?
Yeah, number two sports ground, just a stone's throw from where we are tonight in the Aaron Russell studio on wheels.
Yeah, Sam Kerr actually got the first goal for Perth, mate, but Jets went bang, bang, bang over the remainder of the match and come away 3-1 victors.
Yeah, they certainly did. Goals to Gilliland, Tara Andrews, a stalwart, and Courtney Vine. So Yeah, certainly worth the price of admission. I saw some photos from there. There's a crowd in the four figures, which was a pleasant surprise.
Solid.
Yeah, they were also they were running around yesterday, mate, in that heat, so they've obviously got their tails up.
Yeah, so the great man Laurie was wrapping the crowd. It was good to see a turnout, and hopefully we can get a good solid bunch travelling down this week to support the men's side. But the girls have still got, I believe, three fixtures remaining of their regular season. They take on Melbourne City this Sunday night at 7:30. Now, Melbourne City are sitting sixth, but are the defending premiers, and Newcastle 3 points behind them. So a win here could keep those slim mathematical chances alive and could see us leapfrog Melbourne City and Canberra.
Yeah, Melbourne City got very high standards, mate, and they'll be very disappointed. So it'll be an interesting fixture, mate. Who are you going?
Look, I'm going to go the Jets girls to get a win 2-1. Melbourne City, they've coming off a couple of losses. They've lost to Brisbane and also Melbourne Victory 2 weeks ago in the derby. And, yeah, certainly looking the goods, mate. Michael, your thoughts? How do you like the Jets girls' chances here?
Oh, I've got to back the hometown girls.
So the home side or the hometown girls?
Hometown girls, then you've got the Jets.
Yeah, lovely. And Jared?
Yeah, I was going to go the same score as you, mate. 2-1 to the Jets women's.
Yeah, lovely, mate. So I hope they can get the win there. And it will keep them in the faintest of hopes. But, yeah, they're pushing the proverbial uphill, as I like to say. But the big dance, the Hoff's House, brought to us by Sports Car. Brought to us by Primac Sports Trading Cards and Collectibles. The A-League, mate, the boys not in a good run of form at the moment.
No, they certainly aren't, and another demoralising loss last week at the same ground they lost the week before, mate.
That is true, mate. Melbourne, not a happy hunting ground for the Jets, but a 2-1 loss to last year's grand final rivals, the Melbourne Victory. Good to see Kane Shepherd getting on the score sheet again. He's looking to offer some impressive options through the forward third, and I'm seeing reports is to extend his contract.
Well, that's good news, mate. And it was sort of the only time they really went direct and straight up the middle. And yeah, good finish. Obviously had two goes at it, but it was an impressive goal. And yeah, he's ticking a lot of boxes, mate.
He certainly is, mate. And looking forward to seeing how he can develop in his. Remembering this is his first season out of the NPL, certainly be interesting to see how he progresses. But We did all right against Melbourne Victory. We only went down 2-1, unlike Brisbane Roar the other night, who dropped a 5-0 drubbing at home.
That club's a mess at the moment.
Mate, when you're the club you're running is in the condition it's in, I wouldn't be throwing too many stones, all right? Like, you might not have John Aloisi as a former sack coach, but, the Billy Goats, you might actually beat Brisbane Roar at a game of soccer.
Actually, we're half our cricket team is made up of the Lake Macquarie Roosters, one of their lower pub teams, so they'll give it a red hot crack.
Yeah, well, if you don't win the game, you'll win the fight, maybe.
Oh, 100% we will.
No thanks to you. but this weekend's games, it's all over the shop, the draw at the moment. We've had round 15 games last week, round 12 games this week. It's everywhere. It's a dog's breakfast, Jared.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a tipster's nightmare.
I've given up on filing my tips, so I just file them on the show when I can. So speaking of that, we start round 14 with a matchup at ANZ Stadium. The Wanderers take on Adelaide United. The Wanderers coming off that high-scoring loss over in Perth last Sunday, while their opponents, Adelaide United, went down at Jubilee Stadium to Sydney. Mate, who do you like here?
I'm going to go Adelaide, mate. I think it was a little bit of a blip last week, but I think Adelaide will get the job done 2-0.
Yeah, I certainly think Adelaide will as well, and they'll further broaden that gap between the top six and the rest. Scalzi, what are your thoughts here, mate? Who do you like, Adelaide, or can the Wanderers spring an upset at home?
I think Adelaide are red hot this season, so I'm going to back Adelaide.
Lovely, mate. Nice. Moving on to Saturday, the big game, the one we all want to talk about, the old rivalry. Sydney, the Harbour City boys, Sydney FC, take on Newcastle Jets at Cogger Jubilee Stadium, 5:30 Saturday night. We welcome back a few players, Jared, for this one.
Yeah, Ronnie Vargas is back from his one-game suspension. I believe Ben Kantorowski's back too. And, you stated earlier, Joey Champness is back. So, Glenn Moss is back.
Glenn Moss is also available from injury. I just did need to get clarification, mate. I wasn't able to see today because I couldn't see a squad name. But I think Daniel Georgievski might be out, though, due to yellow cards accumulated.
He got his fifth last week. He got the first ever game against Victory last week, but he's out this week.
Yeah, correct. So, look, that will hurt us. He's been, you know, he's leading our points for a reason, and we'll get into that in a moment after these games. But, yeah, it certainly will be a loss for the boys, but having Ronnie back and potentially Mossy, although I've been quite impressed with Lewis Italiano so far.
Yeah, he was impressive in that first game. I think he just got caught out a little bit of position last week with a couple of the goals, but...
So you know, both of the goals?
Yep, both of the goals, that's correct. But, yeah, I just think... I think he'll be better for the run, as they say, mate. But, I suppose two goalkeepers challenging for one position is better than one.
Yeah, well, we've got a heavy workload coming up, mate, and I'm still yet to get clarification around the rulings for the New Zealand players for the Asian Champions League, whether or not they... count as overseas players, and because of that, Mossy may not be able to play. So it's certainly very interesting, but we might start with you, Scalzi. Who do you like here, and how much are the Jets going to win by?
I'm going to say 2-0 to Sydney FC.
Right, mate, you're lucky I didn't pick you up to come here, because you'd be walking home. No, that's fair enough, mate. Take that $1.91. It's mass value, you're telling us.
Yeah.
Jared, what about you? Are you going to be a bit more loyal than that, or are you just going to just throw the baby out with the bathwater as well?
Well, I stuck loyal with them last week, mate, but I can't see a win here, and I think Sydney are just going to be too good. 3-1.
Oh, you boys, you're depressing me quite a lot. And just, you know, just on the pure principle of it, I'm not going to back Newcastle either, but I'm not going to back Sydney. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw. We're going to find the back of the net at long last and manage to hold on after we take an early lead. I think the boys have got it in them, and look, I think there'll be plenty more opportunities. It's certainly not our... our downfall creating opportunities or getting shots. It's about burying them in the back of that net. So, look, you know, Roy either needs to bury a ball or a goalkeeper in the back of the net sometime soon.
Yeah, someone's face. Please get in his way.
Yeah, it'd be lovely. I think Lawrence Thomas will be glad he got through last week's game. So that's that game. We move on to Melbourne City hosting Perth. Melbourne City have been very up and down, but they've started to find a bit of a run of form at late. But Perth showed last weekend that they really know how to find the back of the net even... when their backs are against the wall.
I think Perth is definitely the benchmark, and I think they've got to be favourites for the comp, and that's who I'll be taking again this weekend. They're just too good.
How much are they going to win it by, Scales?
They'll win it by, let's go
2-1. 2-1. Jared, quick tip.
I'm going to go City 3-2.
I'm going to go Perth 2-0. Moving on, also in Melbourne, a short turnaround for old Amy Park. At 5 o'clock on Sunday, the Melbourne Victory host Wellington. Wellington at half-time last week looked in all sorts against the Mariners. They were down 2-0, and then the Mariners did what they were good at and collapsed and went down 3-2.
They did, mate, they did. But, this will be a pretty spicy game. I think I'm going to go Victory 4-1.
4-1. They're in goal-scoring form after that 5-0 drubbing of Brisbane, but I think Mark Redan's Phoenix might prove a slightly stiffer opposition, but how much so?
Victory 3-0.
Right, I'm going to go a 1-1 draw just to throw the cat amongst the pigeons a little bit. And now we have the battle of the messes. The Mariners, they did break their 320-something day drought, obviously, the other night. I think it was last night, maybe, Jared?
Yeah, it was, mate. They got a 2-1 victory last night over Melbourne City.
Yeah, exactly right. So it doesn't bode well. Could be another 300 days before they get another one. Who do you like here, boys? Can Brisbane bounce back from that 5-0 drubbing? Will Central Coast still be on their, you know, grand final-esque winning high? Are they still partying down the streets of Gosford? Or what's the look? Might go with you, Michael.
This type of game that needs, if you talk about it, needs a fart sound effect in the background. But I'm going to go a 0-0 draw. Which is
that would be fitting, that would be. But, I expect the crowd of at least 7 at this game. So, yeah, the house with no steps cup, you might call it.
Jesus, ruthless. Yeah, I'm going to go Mariners to get it done, mate. 2-1.
Oh, no, I'm going to go Brisbane to win 1-0 just to get the mixed bag there. So that is the upcoming round of Hyundai A-League. Just checking whether there's any midweek games before we record again. There's heaps, Jared. So we might just do a little quick post on our tips early next week after the weekend with Tuesday and Wednesday fixtures, including an F3 derby. But we'll move on to our Player of the Year standings, Jared. And hey, he's starting to break away from the pack, young Daniel Georgievski. The boys will have to catch him this week while he's out of action.
Yeah, well, he's giving everyone a chance, mate. But
it's clearly not the best and fairest.
No, he's Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be getting any points on the rugby off the referees, but, yeah, he's doing well, mate, and he's leading from the front. So, yeah, he's playing more of an attacker rather than a defender at the moment, but...
Yeah, he's playing a rebounding sort of role, but interestingly enough, someone from our panel has given him points every week between the three of us since over the last 8 weeks. So every week he's been in the points, which there's no one else that's had that sort of run this season.
Who was that? Probably me.
Well, yeah, probably. Probably someone that didn't watch the game, so who knows? No. but yeah, look, Frankie. Mate, at the end of the day, most weeks he's picking up a few points, so he's obviously polling from multiple judges. So, yeah, certainly very interesting, and it'll be interesting to see. We're obviously hit the halfway mark. This week is the midweek of the season. You're back in Daniel to take it home, or maybe those guys trailing and Topple Stanley back 6 points. Dimi Petratos, 3 more on 27. Stevie Ugarkovich on 25. Ronald Vargas, 23. And then Bugart and Kandarovski on 20. Who do you like, Jared, on the way home? Scalzi, feel free to chime in with, you know, who your thoughts are and who might pick up the player of the year from the Sports Castle boys on for the Jets with, you know, more rounds left than there are gone. So anyone's open.
Quick look at the leaderboard here. I think, well, you guys done your votes. Daniel's way out in front, and Georgeski should come in with a wet sail with that lead.
Yeah, lovely, mate. What about you, Jared? Can you see a dark horse there?
I would like to see Dimi step up, but I think, Georgeski's got it covered, mate, and I think he'll win it by a canter.
He'll win it by a Kantorovsky?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I'm going to go Topple Stanley as the dark horse, mate. He's polled pretty well as well. He's got 6 of the last 7, not quite at the same level, but he's just consistent. He's solid at the back, and, you know, even the weeks that he doesn't get points, he's not far away, I don't think. So he's always in the conversation. He's just a solid player. He's probably not going to pick up too many 9-point games where he gets 3 votes from everyone, but, you know, you have a look there. There's plenty of 3s and 5s and 6s out of the 9 votes that he can max out on. So, solid. So if anyone can do it, it's probably himself or maybe even the great Skip, Nigel Bugard. So, mate, that is that action. We might move on and just wrap up with the oval ball and just talk rugby union, rugby league quickly. There's been some player movement in recent times, both club to club and code to code, Jared.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, mate.
Your brother Chris.
My brother Chris, yep. He's jumped ship. I believe he's going to have a run at
Curry Curry.
Graveyard, mate.
Going to join the freak, Jade Porter.
Yes, that's right. So he is from a rugby league background originally, and he's obviously had the 3 or 4 successful years up at Maitland, but I think his time in rugby was out. He had a great year last year.
Certainly did. How old would Chris be?
He would be about 28, I believe.
Okay, so a year or two in rugby league. It's not out of the picture that he may return to rugby union again, or maybe suit up in the Black Diamond.
Yeah, well, you never know. He might
triple threat.
Late Macquarie Roosters.
Oh, mate, you're talking about the NPL. He could be goalkeeper, couldn't he?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, he could, or he could join the gridiron team. Anything's possible in this day and age.
Usain Bolt tried it.
Also hearing whispers about a player, and, you know, it's been requested by the club involved that we don't name names, but a player from Southern Beaches who's trialling out at West, I understand, at the moment, an outside back. So that'll be interesting to see and watch this space, I guess, Jared.
Yeah, it will be big news if he does leave, mate. But
it'd be quite a surprise. So there had been some talk about this guy, I think, leaving earlier in the off-season, but it'll be interesting to see. As I said, watch this space, and as soon as we know anything, we'll make sure to let everyone know because it would be a big move. But it's been shown in recent years, both for Logan and this other player in question, that it's certainly a tougher transition to go across from union to league than vice versa. It's trended in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, well, I think you touched on it plenty of times last year, and I went along for the ride, but the NRL competition in Newcastle is, you know, it's a bigger step up than the rugby comp, I reckon, and, you know, semi-professional players over there.
Yeah, you only got to look at a couple of examples, I guess, in recent years. Bryce Madden, who was, you know, quite strong out at Hamilton playing in the centres for them before a bit of an injury that sort of probably waylaid what was looking to be a promising career in rugby union. And I mean, he's back playing sort of lower grade at Central Newcastle. And then you had Dylan Rowney, who was bouncing back and forth between Singleton and Macquarie this year. And he's playing mostly reserve grade at Macquarie, but, you know, he was turning up at Singleton and backing up and just going almost, he was almost straight into first grade.
Yeah, well, he got the skipper's armband halfway through the year.
Yeah. Yeah, and then returned to Macquarie to play in the reserve grade finals, I understand. So, look, at the end of the day, we wish them all the best, and I'd love to see some people prove us wrong and absolutely dominate at it, but history hasn't shown that to be the case as a rule. One of the few exceptions might be the, he's an exception to a lot of rules, this man, the old warhorse, Marty Loiso. He's played a bit of first grade across both codes, back and forth across the years.
Yes, he certainly has, mate, and his age is no barrier there, so maybe we'll see Marty running out in the Black Diamond this year.
Maybe, or maybe he'll just join Terence out at Central, who knows? Actually, I think Terence might have gone to Wyong Roos this year in news. So, yes, certainly a few signings there, mate. And the other big one, obviously, is last year's coach from Southern Beaches, Var Talavia, has left Southern Beaches and returned to his, I guess, his roots back at the Hawks, which is, even at his age, is a huge acquisition. But, mate, they've already got about six loose forts.
Yeah, well, it'd be... Yeah, it's hard to see where you're going to put him, mate. They've won four in a row and all their players are sticking around.
And they've also regained, I believe, another player as well.
Tweedy Assey, yeah. He had a couple of years in Sydney, won the comp here 2016. But, yeah, had a crack at Imwarringah in Sydney the last couple of years. But, yeah, he's back. So, yeah, adds plenty of depth to their back row.
Yeah, plenty of options there. Speaking of back rows, I think, and returning from Sydney, Mitch Gibson is tipped to return to rejoin his former club, Southern Beaches.
Yeah, that's right, mate. He was there early last year, but, yeah, just moved down to Sydney for other opportunities.
Yeah, well, it's always good to see guys go and test themselves at that top level, and then, you know, if it doesn't pan out, it's no, there's no shame in that, and come back and have a crack, and it's good when they come back to their original club too. So, yeah, certainly be interesting to see... But probably in bigger news out of Southern Beaches, mate, I'm not sure if you've seen this. I'm hearing a whisper that former first grade superstar, and I think you played some first Colts down in Sydney, Ben Smith is talking a return to Social Fours.
Yeah, right. Well, that will be
He'll bolster some size. He might play outside centre in Social Fours. I mean, yeah. The biggest outside centre in a while.
Yeah, well, he'll be looking good coming up against big Nathan Forshaw from the Greens, mate. That'll be a big battle.
Yeah, mate, and obviously the man of world rugby, Benny Emmett. Superstar at Maitland there. So, yeah, certainly plenty of talk there. But, yeah, and there's whispers of a few other players leaving Beaches, so we'll wait to see if that's confirmed. And I understand they'll probably head over to Hamilton as well, the couple of probably fringe first graders that we're looking at.
Yeah, and they, maybe they want a drink from the bird bath, mate.
Maybe. Damien Wells has set an unhealthy precedent there. he may have moved on from playing, but he'll certainly never be forgotten thanks to the legendary bird baths, mate.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you confirm you ever gone over and tag along on a silly Saturday evening and got amongst the bird baths, or is it only players?
No, I haven't been there, mate.
King of Grinder hasn't tried to get you in on that one?
No.
That'd be right up his alley, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be, mate. Certainly would be.
Lovely, mate. Well, unless you boys have got much else, I think that pretty much brings us to a show. We appreciate you joining us, Scalzi, in what's become the Aaron Russell sauna.
Yeah.
Mate, the sweat and kilos out here. We'll all be shredded.
Lucky Mick Skelly wasn't here, mate.
Oh, mate, I'm surprised he's not outside abusing us. a big thanks too to all the, especially with just quickly with the NCC Summer Bash, to all the guys that have been with the clubs just flicking through some information. And, you know, when we've just sort of requested stuff, it's made life a lot easier. If you do have any info on, you know, the guys that are coming in as marquees for your club or anything like that, definitely shoot it through to either myself, Jared, or to the Sportscastle page. You can find us on all the social media, SportsCastleAU, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A big thanks to our sponsors, Aerolax Australia, Troy and the boys there. They've got your recovery gear, they've got mouth guards, they've got massage balls. If he doesn't have it, it's not worth having. We've got Primax Sports Cards and Collectibles as well. They're just launching. If you're into, you know, any of the trading cards, the kids love the cricket and the rugby league cards will be coming again soon. The footy season will be on us before we know. I can tell you that they probably won't have any Dylan Napa trading cards. So those guys have been really good to us in regards to it. And, of course, Matthew's Mailing and Maintenance, who sponsor our cricket awards. So we do really appreciate all of their support. We appreciate everyone listening in, really loving getting around all of the sport at the moment and looking forward to winter kicking off. It's the winter sports are only around the corner, Jared.
Yes, that's right, mate, and it was good to finally meet in person yesterday, Mr. Robinson and Mr. Toomey, who I believe you got a little interview there, mate.
Yeah, so. I was going to finish with that one, mate. The boys, they've been greatly involved in the comment section of our show, the Waratah news page, and anywhere else they can find us. So, yeah, look, I can certainly say it was good to meet them. Reports of them their eligibility as bachelors was greatly overrated and overspoken.
It's a great shame Piers can't be nominated, mate. Apparently he's all married up.
Yeah, he's married up to some girl he met on, you know, the first week he was here. He didn't waste any time. Probably looking for a green card, I would think.
Yeah, well,
he strikes me as that sort of bloke.
He's doing a reverse J-Lo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Piers, don't be silly, wrap your willy. And Jono, well, you know, I think Jono says enough for himself, but we might leave that.
All right, we're joined here by Jono Toomey and Piers Robinson from the Warriors Heart Club. A little bit disappointing, that finish there, boys.
Yeah, very disappointing. Obviously, T20's game of margins, and we just came up a little bit short on this occasion.
And do you think there's anything to do with the fact that they didn't send either of you in a little bit earlier to bat?
Potentially. We are notoriously big hitters.
Yeah, that's
right. But no, like I said, game of margins.
Yeah, very close though against a strong side against Meredith, so that's good to see. The big question though, for all of our female listeners, or both, is it true both of you boys on the market at the moment? What have we got to wrap up?
Pierce is married, but yes, one of us is, but yeah.
And who is the gentleman that Pierce is married to?
I actually don't know her name.
Oh, it's a her? Well, that's positive.
I think it's a her. I've seen a photo, so I'm a bit sceptical, but I think, what's her name, Tegan, is it?
No comment.
good choice. What about yourself, Jono?
Yeah, on the market.
On the market, lovely. We haven't thrown you in the Bachelor of the Year contenders, mate, when we get those in February.
Must be short on people then.
Yeah, we are. Well, one of the other nominees is certainly struggling for pace, I think, so we'll leave it at that. How's the Waratah boys looking? The season's starting to build a little bit. Started slowly.
Yeah, we're looking pretty good. Like, it's a good vibe around the club and that, but yeah, just haven't had the results on the field yet.
And how are you finding it, mate? The T20 side at the moment, a bit overtaken by Englishmen.
Yeah, well, I said this morning, it was bad enough putting up with two pommies, now we're going to put up with four. So, yeah.
And where does Pierce rank amongst those? Is he the second best pommy, the fourth best?
Last.
Yeah. Well,
off the pitch.
I wouldn't even say that.
Best off the pitch. Well, you've married up already, mate. I don't know about that. But, mate, I've got to say, boys, thank you very much. You guys have got fairly heavily involved in our show in the comments, and that would really value it. And enjoy having you commenting in, and great to actually get you in person and get you on the show, and we'll look forward to getting you involved a bit more later in the year.
Sweet, thank you.
No problem.
Cheers, boys.
And also tonight to catch up with the great man, Johnny Major. He was he's been very happy to provide some information.
Oh, I got my names mixed up then, I thought.
No, but back to your corner, Scalzi.
Yeah.
And thanks to you, Scalzi, for joining in. I know you'll probably join us a bit over the next couple of weeks at different points, and certainly I think we're up, you know, we're only a couple of weeks away from our 50th show, so we'll have you around for that. You've filled in for Jared quite well before. We might leave it at that. I don't want you boys fighting in the back seat, but yeah, that's certainly the way. And yeah, thanks to everyone that's been involved so far. And thanks to the boys at Bar TV too. Keep tuning into the Summer Bash live streams. We'll share those and get in the comments. We watch those while we're there doing the sideline commentary. So we'll try and give some people some shout outs. If you can post something sensible. I know some of you boys, it's harder to string a sentence together than the others, but Sam Logan, Al Logan. looking forward to another couple of weeks of that. And then the finals and, etc. of the cricket and the rest of the A-League season to come. Thanks, boys, for your time tonight. And I guess, unless we find something better to do next week, we'll do this all again.
Just back to your sponsors. Those Aerolax hats look red hot. So there's a spare one lying around Aerolax.
Yeah, Troy, Scalzi, if you buy a set of his gear, I'm sure he'll give it to you, mate.
Check him out.
You'll need that. Get a set for the goats.
Several sets.
A shout out too, mate. Where are the goats playing this weekend before we wrap up? Get down there on Saturday.
Valentine Soccer Field against Valentine.
So, how much are you going to win by?
All I know is that the beers are $3.
That's always a good factor to note. There is beer there. Of course, you will need to drink to be able to enjoy Scalzi batting.
Correct.
But thanks again, boys. That'll probably be a wrap, and we'll catch everyone either on the live streams during the week or next week.
Yeah, see you later, guys.